the bones and then the back.
Here to decapitate Malik and Mystic.
Back in 1693, the people of Salem, Massachusetts.
Witches!
Yes?
Thought they got rid of the Sanderson sisters for good.
Sanderson sisters.
I bet you're looking for the stage.
Always.
Hello, and welcome to Unloved Sequels, the podcast that brings you a blow-by-blow critique of Hollywood's worst-rated sequels. You know, the ones that some people think should never have been made. We're your hosts, Michael. Say hello.
Hello.
And I'm Claire. Now, this episode, we're doing something a bit different. We all know that Hocus Pocus 2 is coming to Disney Plus, and here at Unloved Sequels, we are very excited, to say the least. Now, we know the sequel isn't out yet, and we know the first movie is nowhere near Unloved, but quite frankly, this is our show, and we want to talk about it. So, here we are.
So, we're completely off topic today. We're not even talking about a sequel. We're going to be talking about the original Hocus Pocus, and we're going to be discussing, between the both of us, what we want to see in that long-awaited sequel to one of the most cult classic Halloween family movies that's ever existed. Especially in America, it's absolutely huge over here, the amount of merchandise and stuff that you can get your hands on. So to start this off with, we're just going to have a quick brief look at how Hocus Pocus, the original film, performed. The original movie took $45.5 million against a budget of $28 million. What is not a great outcome.
That's not a brilliant return.
No, it was critically panned by the critics, and it got 39%. But over the years, the audience from it have grown. It has had an audience rating of 71%, so it's quite loved by the general public.
Yeah.
The problem,
because it's a good film.
It's an amazing film. The problem with, the reason why the critics panned it and the reason why the box office flopped was because they released this in July the 16th, 1993. They released this in the summer. Do you remember the first time you watched Hocus Pocus?
Well, here's the thing. I think it might have been last year. Your face!
Bad,
you did a great
friend
watch,
of
we?
A gay person. Oh,
we did a watch party last Halloween.
Was that the first time you watched it?
I think that might be the first time I sat and watched the whole movie from start to finish.
Okay.
I've seen bits of it and clips of it,
yeah,
and dipped in and out of it. But I think, because again, this was 1993. I was not a movie kid.
No, and I've always been
and
a movie
somehow,
kid.
I don't know how, I was friends with you for almost 20 years before you moved to America, and we never watched this movie together prior to that.
No.
But I think the first time I watched the movie from start to finish was last year. When we did a watch party, you were in America and I was at home in London.
Yeah, I've always been a fan of this film, but I've come more of a diehard fan since living here, because you can't escape it. It's everywhere this time of year.
Mm.
It's a staple. Like, even before Disney Plus came out and the streaming, you would turn on Freeform and it would be on 24/7 on a loop. Like, it has massive fan.
But isn't it one of those movies? I didn't do a deep dive on trivia for this, for the first movie, because I know we're not kind of going on for ages about this. But I've got in the back of my head, isn't this a movie that kind of has huge sales every single year at Halloween?
Yeah,
it has
massively.
Huge DVD and, I was going to say, and VHS, but not anymore, DVD and Blu-ray sales every single year.
Yeah. And now, like,
I don't know who's buying it because everyone's already got it, but.
But it's kind of like, it's even like Disney spent a lot of money upgrading this to 4K. They've remastered it for Disney Plus. Like, they know it's a cash cow for them. And now with the sequel coming out with the original women,
ka-ching!
It is they expect those little viewing ships to quadruple, double. So that's what we're doing here today, guys. We're going to discuss what we want to see in that sequel.
Mm.
So, Claire, do you have anything down where you would like to start this conversation off?
Well, I thought I would just quickly start us off by talking about who's back and who isn't. So we've got our three stars are back. We've got Bette Midler, we've got Kathy Najimy, we've got Sarah Jessica Parker back. We've also got Doug Jones back as Billy Butcherson, which is brilliant. The other cast from the original movie, we don't have any of them returning. None of the original kids are coming back. Apparently Thora Birch was keen to be in it. I would love her to have been in the sequel.
I just understand why they just didn't bring them back as parents.
Well, I think there were conversations about her coming back into it, but she, scheduling issues. I don't know what else she's working on or has been working on, but she couldn't be in it because of scheduling. And then we've got no Max, we've got no Alison, we've got no Thackeray.
Yeah.
Although that kind of makes sense because he got his happy ending and off he went at the end of the last movie. So I wouldn't have expected to see him back anyway. Yeah. We've got a new director. We've got Anne Fletcher directing this time. She directed The Proposal, Step Up, Love, Victor, Dumpling, 27 Dresses, lots of movies that we like. We've got a new writer, Jen D'Angelo, who I had a quick look at her IMDb profile. There's nothing much that caught my eye on there of things that I recognise. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean it's not going to be a good story and a good script. So, yes, I mean, the important thing is that we've got all three of our main witches, our Sanderson sisters, are all back. I don't think it would have worked without them.
Just appreciate how much of a female powerhouse this has become. Like,
I know
them three women in the leading role, replacing even the male boy lead with three girls now. So it's three girls we're focusing on, a female director, a female writer. This is like a female powerhouse.
Yes.
This is going to be iconic for a lot of girls out there.
Yeah, good. This is good news, and I think that's the sort of thing that I think the stars of the movie would be pushing for now.
Yes, exactly.
In 1993, that wasn't something even that female stars as big as Bette Midler really had the clout to be able to push for. But in this day and age, I mean, it may be that the director and the writer would have got the jobs regardless, but it's quite possible that the female stars have kind of pushed for female creative team around them. And as you say, we've got our leads that we've seen in the trailer. The young leads are female. And yeah, much more diverse cast,
yes,
which is nice.
It is. So what are we looking for in this sequel? So I am definitely looking for the top one I've written down here out of everything is Bette Midler, Bette Midler, and Bette Midler. Now, I'm a huge Bette Midler fan. I would watch her take a piss for 3 hours quite happily. I'm quite obsessed with her. And I just want more Bette. And Bette as Winifred Sanderson is complete. It's like a warm blanket. She's so good in this role and so over the top. Before I even saw Hocus Pocus, the first inkling I ever got from Hocus Pocus, when I was a teenager, I was a big fan of the author Amistad Maupin. Well, I still am, but I read all the Tales of the City books. And then he wrote a book called The Night Listener, what has been turned into a movie with Robin Williams. And there's a scene in the book where they bitch about Hocus Pocus. One of the characters in there is dying in Night Listener, and one of his wishes to watch the new Bette Midler movie, and they put on Hocus Pocus, and all three queens in the film, in the book, complain how terrible it is and it shouldn't be allowed.
Really?
And it's against, Bette Midler should be ashamed of this movie. And I watched, and I was, that always stayed in my mind. If I saw Hocus Pocus posters, even when we worked in Blockbusters, I didn't watch it back then, and I was like, oh, Amistad Maupin said that was a shit film. But then I watched it and I think it probably wasn't designed for his age group. I suppose they went into the cinema expecting beaches.
Yes.
See, that's true, Bette Midler. And also that Ruthless People. Do you used to like
Ruthless People? I love that movie. But having said I wasn't a movie kid. I don't know how, it must have just been on TV at some point and I watched it. Ruthless People. I love that movie.
It's such a good movie. This is Bette Midler's first sequel. Apart from Animated, which did The Addams Family too.
Really?
She voiced the girl. She's never filmed
a
sequel.
I guess it is.
She's never been a part of a franchise.
We're going to get Hocus Pocus 3 and 4 and 5 and 6.
Because she always kicked herself because Sister Act was written for Ben.
Was it?
Yes. Sister Act was written for Ben.
Oh my goodness.
Midler. And she was up to, all the way up to production. And then at the end of it, when they were just on the tip of filming, she was like, oh, my fans won't want to see me in a habit. So she dropped out of it and the role was given to Whoopi Goldberg. Could you imagine Sister Act with Bette Midler? Completely different film.
It would be. I mean, Whoopi Goldberg is fantastic in Sister Act.
Oh my God, it's iconic.
The thought of her not being in it makes me a little bit sad, but the thought of Bette Midler having been in it, it would have been a very different film.
Yeah.
But it still would have been really good.
Yeah. It wouldn't have been so much of a quick cultural change. They would have leaned more into the Jewish nun instead of the black nun.
Yeah.
So the whole seventh Motown music they use in it wouldn't really worked as well.
Yeah, they would have it. They must have changed quite a lot, I guess, to make that. Yeah, because of the whole the culture shock element of it is so central to the movie.
Yeah, massively.
Mm.
So I want more Bette. I also want more songs. I want them to be.
Yes.
I really want more songs. So we know that there is two covers in here. So there's two songs they're going to sing. So one like the original. And we know one of the songs is going to be One Way or Another by Blondie, because that was filmed out in public and there was videos of people filming it when it was recorded back in the summer.
Yeah.
Website Screen Rant, what does lots of movie stuff, did an article called 10 Songs That the Sanderson Sisters Should Sing in Hocus Pocus 2. And I thought this would be quite fun to read down this article and just watch your reaction to some of these.
Go on.
I'll watch them. So you have to be vocal for these people at home, okay? Okay. The first one they pick is Toxic by Britney Spears.
Now, that would be amazing. That would be amazing.
Then they got Season of the Witch by Donovan.
I don't know that song.
It must be the season of the witch. There's no point me singing it.
I still don't know that song.
No, it doesn't help. Doesn't help. Disturbia by Rihanna. Disturbia. I'm ashamed, not thinking in with you.
No, maybe. Maybe I know the song and just don't know that's what it's called.
Here's what I don't know. Heads Will Roll by Yeah Yeah Yeahs. I don't know that. Do you know that one?
I can't think of it off the top of my head. I've heard of the Yeah Yeah Yeahs. I'm kind of showing my musical demographic at the moment, aren't I? This is not on the Radio 2 playlist, so it's,
yeah, anything came out I'm familiar with. Anything that came out past 2004, she hasn't got a clue. One Way or Another by Blondie that we have got in the film. Black Magic Woman by Fleetwood Mac.
Yes.
Yes. Look What You Made Me Do by Taylor Swift. Now, I know that and a lot of our
listeners. Yeah, I know that song. I know Taylor Swift.
Oh,
yeah. I got kids.
Down with the kids. She's down with the kids. Sweet Dreams by the Eurythmics. Now, that would be good, wouldn't it? Just the three of them singing. Sweet Dreams are made of this. I always like that Annie Lennox song she sang for the Dracula movie with Gary Oldman. Well, Gary Oldman didn't sing it with her, but she sang a song for Dracula, didn't she?
Did she?
Yeah, I can't remember what it's called now. Anyway, Thriller by Michael Jackson. Thriller Night. Don't know why I'm thinking that. She should know that. Evil Woman by Evil Woman by Electric Light Orchestra.
Oh yeah.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
Do you know that one?
I know that song. Evil Woman.
And that was it.
That isn't gonna help. I probably got it on my phone. I could play it down my microphone to you, but it would sound a bit rubbish on the recording, so I won't.
Yeah, please don't do that. That would be a real shitty arsehole thing to do when I have to edit. yeah. So they are my top things. I also want, I'm gonna reel off now what I want to see, and then you can just chip in and do your list afterwards. Is that okay? So
yeah, very much Michael's episode, by the way, in case anyone hadn't realized.
I am very excited. So I want more chemistry between the three girls. I'd be very upset because a lot of these movies they bring back the original cast and then they end up just shoehorning them in as cameos, don't they? They don't really do very much with them, and I'd be so disappointed if they do that with these three girls. Like, I'd be so upset if I haven't got a lot of.
So when you say more chemistry, you mean more of their chemistry. You don't mean more than they had. You're not saying you didn't think they had enough in the first movie.
No, I think they had it, but I want them to be able to have more improv, more like off the cuff remarks, things that they've come up with. So kind of what I mean by chemistry, I hope the director just went, do what you need to do.
Just do your thing.
Do your thing, play these three women. Also, let's be honest, this movie is for the gays. It's for the gays and the housewives. And I just think that I hope they make it for that target audience. I know there's drag queens in this. I know Ginger Minge. And
very excited that we've
playing
got
Bette Midler. Live action drag queens. I hope they grow the universe so there's a bigger universe building out there. I know we're going to get a little bit of a look into their past about them as kids and about how they got their powers and stuff. So I hope they breach on that, but not take too much away from my three favourite girls getting a lot of screen time.
Well, they're going to have to grow the universe somehow because they're going to need to explain how they can be back.
Yes.
Because the end of the first movie, spoiler alert, in case you haven't seen Hocus Pocus, because maybe you haven't, but if you haven't, why are you listening to this particular episode? At the end of Hocus Pocus, they are turned to stone.
Yes. No, one of them is.
Forever. It's very clear in the movie that if they don't get, if they don't complete their magic spell by sunrise to become immortal, they are going to be gone. Gone, gone, gone.
They don't get turned to stone.
Is it not stone?
Well, two of them blow up because of sunrise, and then Bette Midler gets turned into stone because she falls onto hollow ground, but then explodes when the sun hits her.
Yes, true. I rewatched it last week, and I still managed to miss that bit. But anyway, they are gone. At the end of the first movie, it's very clear that they're gone, and there's been a lot of references through the movie to the fact that if they haven't succeeded by sunrise, they will be dead forever.
Yeah.
So the fact that they're not in this movie, they are back, is going to need a bit of explaining. So I think they're going to have to develop the universe to explain whatever loophole they've come up with to facilitate that.
Because in the first one, a virgin has to light the black flame candle.
Yes.
Now, because that's because when they got hung at the beginning of the first one, they let out, they cursed them and said, we will be back when a virgin lights a black flame candle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, in today's world, they're probably trying to keep away from the word virgin.
Yeah, because I found that weird how much they talked about that kid being a virgin. Like, he's 16, he should be a virgin. I found that a bit weird how much emphasis was put on the fact that he was a virgin in the first movie. Like, that was a bad thing. It's not a bad thing.
No, but was he 16?
Was he not?
Well, I don't know. He could be older, because don't forget, you're
still... He can't have been more than 16.
Well, don't forget, you're in high school till you're 18, aren't you?
Yes, but...
He probably was supposed to be 16.
I don't know. I got the impression he was supposed to be quite young.
Yeah.
I'm just looking up how old the actor was. Born in 76. Well, that doesn't help because he was 17, if my maths is good. He was 17 when the movie was made, which probably means the character was supposed to be younger, because usually in movies they do cast older than the character. But either way, 17, it's totally okay to be a virgin at 17. Like,
I know, but you're still in that mentality back then, everyone was like, oh, you're a virgin, you haven't got a girlfriend. I know.
Well, this is, again, this is me watching it with middle-aged mum eyes, isn't it?
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, I was a teenager when it came out, and that might have been different if I'd watched it then.
No, exactly. The other thing I'm excited about is to see Doug Jones back.
Mm. I'm very pleased that he's back.
He's actually got the same makeup artist from the original, and he's wearing the same wig from the original movie. What's quite exciting.
Who's been looking after that wig? Like, why?
Well, they apparently didn't think on a
there
shelf.
Was going to be a sequel, did they?
No, but a lot of makeup artists, when they do something that's become iconic and they have a workshop, they'll kind of like just stick it on the shelf.
I suppose they just keep it as a thing.
As a souvenir for themselves, don't
that must have needed some cleaning though.
And dusty. Dusty wigs. So
that stunk.
It was big time. So what are you looking forward to now? I've just taken control of the podcast for the last 5 minutes.
Well, this is the thing. So you've kind of covered all the things that are potentially very exciting. I have to say, I've been a bit back and forward about how I feel about this movie. So when it was first announced, I was very excited because I love the first movie and I want to see more of the same. But then I thought, actually, I don't want to see more of the same. I want to see something different. I really hope that it explains itself well, that we get that reason, whatever loophole it is they've created to bring the Sanderson sisters back. I hope it's a decent one and they haven't just gone, oh, and it was all a dream, or, and then he stepped out of the shower, or some kind of lame, I had my fingers crossed when the sun came up, and so whatever. I'm sure they won't.
No.
I feel fairly confident that they will do it more justice than that. But I'm more about what I'm worried about for the movie than about what I'm hoping for, I think. I worry that they might screw up that explanation of how that happens.
Yeah.
I hope they're going to get the right balance of being new and fresh, because it does need to be new and fresh. And I think from what we've seen in the trailer, I think it is going to be new and fresh. But then, like you say, recognizing the fact that most of the people that are going to watch it are going to be the fans of the original movie.
Yeah.
So there needs to be enough in there that kind of, there has to be a few callbacks. There has to be, I hope we get some reference to the kids from the first film, even if it's just fleeting, just some acknowledgement that that all happened. I'm wondering where they're going to find some of the humor, because a big part of the humor in the first movie was based on the fact that these hundreds of years had passed since the sisters had been around last. So there was that culture shock element of, you know, when they discovered that the road was solid and not a river, and the whole thing of the culture shock of Halloween in America, which, you know, for anyone, I mean, I have been in America for Halloween once as a British person, knowing exactly what to expect and still finding it quite a thing.
Do you want to tell people what we did that Halloween?
Yeah, of course I do. We joined the parade. And so Michael was living in New York for a while. And I went over to visit him, and we carefully planned my visit so that I would be there across his birthday and Halloween, which are on consecutive days. So we went and joined the parade in which is like the most American Halloween thing you can do, isn't it?
It was
insane. It was absolutely insane. And we had fantastic costumes. I was the Wicked Witch of the West. And Michael, I dread to think how much you must have spent on your costume. He had this amazing flying monkey costume with a mask and the suit and the wings. Maybe we'll post a photo onto the socials of us in our costumes when this episode drops. And yeah, so I was kind of like strutting around New York, flailing my broom at people and commanding Michael, and he was just jumping out at people and making them crap themselves, quite frankly.
We even made the local news, didn't we, on the parade? We were on the local news. It was awesome. It was so awesome.
We were like walking down the street, and the loads of people would kind of look at me and go, oh yeah, there's another Wicked Witch of the West. And then suddenly you'd jump out from behind me and they would scream and run. It was hilarious. I think the walk home back to your apartment was funnier than the parade, because in the parade people were expecting it.
Yeah, and you were half melted. You're half your green face paint and melted by then.
So I know, even more horrific. I was like the end of the Wizard of Oz. I'm melting. Good times.
So true. So, how are you going to watch this new Hocus Pocus?
Well, I think we've just arranged to do an early morning watch party, haven't we? As soon as it drops on Disney Plus. So that's going to be my first viewing. That's going to be my first viewing of it. I'm humming and hawing about whether
you show the kids
to watch it with my kids. I might, well, because I'm going to do a watch with you first, so that will help me decide, because I rewatched the first one last week, I think, or maybe the week before. And a lot of it, I was like, I could watch this with the kids. And to be honest, it's that whole thing of them going on about him being a virgin is the thing that makes me go, do I want to show this to my kids? Are they going to ask me questions that I don't want to answer?
If it makes you feel better, my neighbor's kids love Hocus Pocus, and I don't think they've even clocked what that word is. They watch it yearly. They've always watched it. So on Halloween, not Halloween, for the premiere of this film on September 30th, I'm having a massive Hocus Pocus 2 party with an outdoor screen. We've invited about 60 people. We've got a barbecue
of
truck coming. I'll post some pictures on the socials. It'll be so much fun. But I've got...
I'll post some pictures of me at home on my sofa on my own.
Fun. I've invited you. I said you can fly over for it. I've got a brilliant local business called Voila Let's Party looking after the organisation of this big event. So that's quite cool. But my neighbour's kids watch this all the time every year. And I don't think those conversations have come up. I don't think... Because it's not a visual thing, the virgin stuff.
Yeah.
It's a word. And I'm sure kids watch things all the time. They're not going to go... Mum, what's the virgin? Are they? Well, your oldest son might, but I don't think your daughter will.
Daughter won't. No, it's the boy that I'm worried about, because he's at that age that he's nearly eight, so he's at the age that he is starting to properly pay attention to movies. I'll give it a go because I want my kids to get into watching Halloween movies with me at that time of year. So maybe this is the year to give it a try.
Yeah.
Well, what could possibly go wrong?
Well, you didn't like the boogie guy from.
Nightmare Before Christmas didn't go well. My daughter loved it. She was three last year when we watched it. She loved it. My boy, who was six, turning seven, not such a fan.
No.
Yeah.
But he might.
There's a lot of things I love about my son, but his enjoyment of spooky movies is not one of them.
This is a good place to start. Show him Hocus Pocus. He might enjoy the element
maybe
of
will.
It.
Maybe
show
I
that
will.
To him and see how he gets on. I'm sure. I feel like this one might be aimed at a slightly younger audience and not have so many sexual remarks in it because it is on Disney Plus. It's not getting a theatrical release.
And also there's probably an awareness, I would think, that, like we were saying, it's going to be a key part of the audience for this movie is going to be the people that watched it and enjoyed it before. And those people are our age, and a lot of people our age have children.
Yeah, no, definitely.
So I think they are going to be, hopefully make it. I mean, it's rated PG, as is the first one. So hopefully it is going to be one I can watch with my kids. Although I do feel like with the young main cast, I feel like hopefully it might be a good teen movie as well.
Yes. I don't think there's going to be a lot of younger siblings for the characters in this, like we had Tora Birch in the first one. I think they're just the three main teenage girls.
I think, I don't think it's going to be more focused on the three girls. And I'm looking at the artwork, the poster art now, and it's you've got the three Sanderson sisters and then you've got the three teenage girls, very kind of front and center, literally front and center in the poster. So hopefully there's going to be some nice focus on them and it will appeal to that audience as well.
Funny how they're three young girls and three witches. Maybe we see ourselves a new little coven starting and that's where they bring back the witches.
Maybe we do.
Maybe that's
maybe
the
we
story
do
line.
Because they're I don't think the three girls are sisters, but they kind of have three distinct looks in much the same way as the Sanderson sisters have three distinct looks. So I wonder if, because in the poster, they're positioned below and above as well. The three teenagers are at the bottom of the poster and then the three sisters are directly above them in a similar formation. So maybe we are going to see some parallels between the three.
That's exciting. Mm-hmm. I'm excited.
Do you know what? This conversation has got me really excited for the movie again. I was starting to loop round to the point of being a bit nervous about it. And oh, is it going to turn out to be really disappointing? Am I putting too much pressure on it? But actually, this conversation's got me kind of fired up to watch it. So
you just got to go in with low expectations. That's what I've learned a lot about, especially doing this podcast.
Michael's Guide to Watching Movies.
Just expect them to be shit and then you'll be really entertained. That's my new view on things. I imagine the critics not being very kind to this film because they're just meanies. So I imagine it not being very well received. So we will be looking.
No, but I can imagine social media being quite kind to it.
Yes. I think, do you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if the Rotten Tomato score for this one, what is 39% critics, 71% audience, gets repeated in the same ballpark. Yeah. So don't be disappointed if you see the critics come out and say this film is rubbish, because I'm sure that you're going to have a good old romp with it and you're going to have a way of a time with it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So listeners, tell us, what are you thinking about Hocus Pocus 2? Are you looking forward to it? Do you think it will be an unloved sequel? You can leave us a comment. You can email us on unlovedsequels@gmail.com and you can find us on all the socials at Unloved Sequels.
Hang on, Claire. You mean, what? Why don't we actually cover Hocus Pocus 2 on next week's episode? Even if it's got 100% all around, shall we still cover it?
Yeah, I don't care. Okay. This is our show. If we want to watch it and cover it, we'll watch it and cover it.
Okay,
but we can find a way of crowbarring it in.
Exactly. So even if it's not an unloved sequel, we'll be watching and reviewing Hocus Pocus 2 next week. But guys, that's goodbye from me, Michael.
And from me, Claire.
And I'm going to leave you here with Bette Midler and the girls to get you in the mood for Hocus Pocus 2. See you next week, guys.
And now you're mine. You can't stop the things I do. I ain't lying. Been 300 years, right down to the day. Now the witch is back, and there's hell to pay. I put a spell on you.